Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. Hour number one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. As promised, the Cowboys beat the Giants with authority. General at your service. There's Brian Broaddus. There's Lucius Alexander. Woolchuck and Chia follow. Carter Freeman is coordinating your video. And we are the G-Bag Nation. Pardon me.
Bless you.
Yeah. Okay. Got that out of my system, yeah. Guys. Let's talk some Cowboys. I felt like it could have been much better if the refs or CeeDee Lamb or Diggs had been more precise with their execution earlier in the game, or if the Noah Brown triple hold on the final drive had been called. But, you know, to me in the end, it was clear Cowboys better than the Giants, and them winning with their backup quarterback has to make you think, well, maybe this team is actually pretty good here if they're going to run the ball and play defense like that. Get this passing game together with Michael Gallup coming back and, you know, what's it mean for who this team is your question at 877-881-1053. It is two wins against what's probably going to be non-playoff teams, and the Cowboys throttled the Giants. So I don't want to say this is now a contender or anything like that, but it does give me a level of intrigue of where this team could be as you look forward to, you know, them developing throughout the season.
That's where I'm at. I feel that 100%. I feel really, really good about this right now because you're starting to put stuff together in terms of defensively. You know what you got. Pass rush was on point last night, and that wasn't even like a Micah Parsons freak show game either, which was really, really encouraging. Offensively, like Kellen Moore, Mike McCarthy, the amount of confidence that they are instilling in these guys where they're coming out of the gates, they're throwing on the first play of the game. Boom, chunk play, confidence through the roof. Let's go. Fourth down and four. Let's be aggressive. No problem. Oh, everybody thinks we're just going to run the ball on first down every single time? Let's go 7 for 8 on play action for a buttload of yards. We should have been 8 for 8 with a touchdown, one of them going to CeeDee Lamb. But I thought Kellen Moore, monster beast of a game. Mike McCarthy with the willingness to be aggressive in moments and the willingness to not just say, hey, we got to just play scared and do everything possible to just not lose the game. It's like, no, we're going to throw the ball. Well, I'm not worried about it. And then the rushing game is clicking, man. And how cool was it to see Jason Peters step in and immediately there goes Tony Pollard.
First play, they go right behind him, and it was nuts. I mean, Broaddus and I were talking about this when we were watching the game together and then in the post game last night. It's, you know, Jason, we've been there, out there at Oxnard for camp. Tyler Smith is a big man, okay? I mean, these offensive linemen are big boys. Jason Peters gets out there, and he is dwarfing everybody. And immediately you see the impact that Jason Peters has. I also loved at the end of the game when there's this scuffle at midfield and you see Jason Peters, all right, and he pulls the rook over, Tyler Smith, strap up. Let's put the helmet back on, okay? We're getting our armor. We're ready to rock just in case something goes down. And you can see just Tyler Smith is soaking it in. He's eating it up. He is just absorbing everything that Jason Peters wants to teach him.
It's a big part of the excitement, I think.
It is.
When you get Tyron healthy too, Tyron, Zach, Peters, and Tyler, that's just some giants out there that could open some massive holes.
It's exciting
holes.
What this offensive line's doing. They're getting better. And Tyler Biadasz is another factor of this, I think. And in the pulling game, you know, when you get these guys out on the move, we talked about that with Terrence Steele at times, right. The athleticism. But I think Tyler Biadasz has taken that to another level this year when they've had him getting out in space. Tyler Smith has been absolutely dominant when they get out there when it comes to tosses and these sweeps. But you talk about play action last night. Cooper Rush, 11 of 15, 158 yards, a 90.6 passer grade, and a big-time throw. 48.5% of Rush's dropbacks used play action of some sort, second highest frequency in week three and higher than any single Cowboys game play action usage of last year.
There
so
you go.
That was
That's a huge stat.
Certainly something that Kellen Moore, you know, and Mike McCarthy wanted to use.
Brian, I was wondering, has being Dakless made this offensive brain trust be more resourceful or to consider things they weren't? And that's the statistical information that you need right there to prove that, yes, because going to play action, like more motion, these are things that can make the job easier for the quarterback, and I hope they continue to implement it when Dak comes back.
Mike McCarthy said it post-game last night, though, they had a lot of check with me's built into the program, built into the game plan. So check with me's are, they get to the line of scrimmage, you have run-pass options. Mm-hmm. So they were putting the ball game in Cooper Rush's hands to make the right checks. You heard several times during the game, you heard the kill, kill, kills, and that's him changing from one side to the other, whether they were going to run the football or how they were going to get the play off. So, yeah, I think that there's a lot of confidence in Cooper Rush. The thing I'm really happy about with, we've all talked about the defense and what they've been able to do. That wasn't one of Michael Parsons' best games. The pressure and stuff that he creates and the havoc he creates, but he wasn't at full strength last night. You could tell. But the thing about it was there were others that stepped up. Tank Lawrence stepping up. Armstrong stepping up. They had to have that in that football game last night. So that
and the Giants were doing a lot of extra stuff to contain Parsons,
they were
which
trying.
Freed
they
up
were
other
trying.
Guys.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And if you look at the stat sheet, it wasn't one of his best games statistically, but again, the havoc that he wreaks with everybody, and the way he could create problems with blocking schemes, that just opens up opportunities for others. And I think it set it up last night. I mean, Tank, the way that he was able to win one-on-one. Neal is not a bad offensive tackle. He had not been playing poorly at all. The Giants folks will tell you, man, we've got a good young tackle here. But he flat just swatted hands down, got shoulder pass, went up the field. But one more thing I want to say about encouraging for me as far as what's going on offensively, and it happens to deal with Tony Pollard. It's not Tony Pollard come in and get your third series after Zeke has two. They are using Tony Pollard along with Zeke. They finally figured it out. It doesn't. When have we seen a football game in the last 4 minutes where Tony Pollard was killing the game?
That was really interesting.
That was no, we're not putting Zeke bang it in there and hope for 2-3 yards. We're putting it in there to try and get this thing 6-8 yards a shot because we're blocking well enough to do it. They finally figured it out with Tony Pollard and how to use him and how to use him with Zeke.
And to me, that points to Dawson, you saying, hey, with the backup quarterback, we got to be more resourceful. So we got to make sure that we're using the guys that need to be used. We're putting them in positions to succeed with motion. We're using the play action. The overall play action numbers are incredible. The most encouraging for me was the early down play action. Everybody in the world thinks you're going to run the ball. And even better, you're showing them run looks. Well, I got two tight ends on the field. Of course I'm running the ball.
They went three tight ends a lot with McEwen.
Go three tight ends. And then boom, on first down, you're 7-8, 133 yards on off play action. And the only incompletion is CD Lamb, and it should have been a touchdown.
I'll tell you what, it really helps the Cowboys, though. Notice how much that Cooper Rush plays under center. He takes a ton of snaps under center.
Old school, baby.
Not all his snaps are, and that's what I'm saying. The play
that helps
action,
you sell the play action better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, when you have to turn your back to the defense and then set back up, that is a whole different look for defensive guys.
So are you saying Dak doesn't do that as much as he should if you want to run play action?
I don't think they want him to turn his back to the defense. I think that's something they're concerned about.
With Dak.
Because it's like you turn your back and now you have to find everybody again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough.
That's tough. Some quarterbacks are very capable of selling that play action and next thing you know, they flip their eyes and, okay,
see
where is everybody?
Again real
where
quick.
Is everybody?
Yeah.
You know,
I am not paying a guy who I don't feel I can do play action. If they think that's a problem for him,
that is a
nightmare.
I am putting that out there as why you would not have your quarterback play under center as much. Because I've been with quarterbacks that can't take their eyes away from the field. They have to keep everything in front of them.
It's not any sort of anomaly. Teams that run play action more benefit from it tremendously. And if you can, I would say, that's one of the things that you got to make sure is in the game plan a little bit more. However you got to do it. once Dak Prescott returns. But, man, what an incredible evening of football to sort of confirm the things that you thought you saw against the Bengals. Could Cooper Rush really do it again? Now he's 3-0, and the conversation is just so much more robust. And I think it's going to get louder and louder. You play the Commanders game. This morning, Jerry saying one or two more weeks for Dak. Does that mean he's coming back to play the Rams and the Eagles after Rush gets to go Bengals, Giants, Commanders?
That would be my guess.
Can you imagine the Dak haters feasting? Because they're not going to beat the Rams. They will beat the Commanders. They will not beat the Rams. They will probably not beat the Eagles because the Eagles are a really good playoff team. This Cowboys team does not beat those kind of teams. So if Rush is 3-0 on the year and Dak is effectively 0-3, boy, you think the Cooper Rush truthers are annoying now? It is about to go through the roof. This might be the most dramatic quarterback controversy we've ever seen.
Dak might catch a huge break here because what's happened is these last two games or three games have allowed guys like Tyler Smith to develop a little bit. It's allowed Noah Brown to develop a little bit. It's allowed the defense to become a little bit more of what its identity is.
Seems like it's allowed your dang play caller to develop a little bit.
So Dak might benefit from guys actually elevating their games that might help him when he comes back.
Well, big help for him is also getting his best buddy Michael Gallup back, right? I mean, they have...
Noah Brown's playing pretty damn well for me, guys. I ain't gonna lie about that. Mm-hmm.
But Noah Brown and Dak don't have the same rapport that Cooper Rush and Noah Brown do. Gallup and Dak do have that connection where you can put it in a spot, and that is the specialty that Gallup has, where he makes these crazy boundary catches,
sure. The
toe touches, getting it in bounds. Dak has a confidence in MG to where having him, I think, will be a comfort for him back in the lineup. But you're right. I mean, we did see Noah Brown and Dak have success in Oxnard. Will they be able to finally translate that to actual game action like Cooper Rush and Noah Brown have?
The growth of the team, the ability to run the football, the ability to use Pollard and Zeke at the same time, I think it has to. If Dak is failing in areas that Cooper Rush is succeeding in, that's where you're discussing. It's like, well, why is he not getting the ball to Noah Brown? Well, why is he not getting the ball to Pollard here? Why is he not getting the ball to Ferguson? Or, you know, these guys are showing that they have the ability. Last night they won the game with being depleted. If you think about it, they're starting tied in one in the game, you know. To me, this is going to be the telling thing. My hope is that everybody's elevating their game. Dak comes back in, he fits in, and they kind of continue on the path they're on. I think they need to score a lot more points, though, myself.
My hope is that we can keep context on what kind of teams Cooper Rush is playing and what kind of teams Dak is playing.
Yeah.
Last year, Dak in the offense averaged 41 against the division. 41 points in six games against the division. Cooper Rush, mid-20s. You know, so you know, I don't think you can make a strong numbers case right now. The only thing you really have is, let's see where this thing goes over the next 10 games. If Dak comes back and really struggles, maybe Cooper Rush could be reinserted into the starting lineup. We don't have to, like, come to a decision or really fight it out right now because we're going to get clarity on this no matter which way you feel over the next 10 games. I would just ask the Dak homers to be open-minded. You know,
yeah,
I'm leaning Dak significantly in this conversation, but I at the same time, I wouldn't be surprised if Cooper Rush is making enough progress that maybe he can grow enough to be close enough to make it an interesting evaluation.
Every game they win right now is a huge benefit. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's just because it keeps them within touch of Philadelphia.
Yeah,
that's all you can ask. You know, just keep this thing within a game of, you know, Philadelphia, maybe tight. How you have to get Dak back? That's how you look at it.
So if you're keeping it tight here, Dawson, and you're trying to, and you're Dak's people, and you're saying, hey, let's try to make this. I mean, come on, we want to look good here. Are you just bringing him back for that home nooner versus the Lions? Is that the one? You're like, okay, we're, I don't want you to play. I don't want you to have to go to L.A. and take on the Rams. I don't want you to go to Philadelphia on what I believe is a Sunday night outing. Let's let Cooper Rush get a little taste of what a legitimate NFL team looks like. And then, Dak, you're like, hey, Dak, let's get you for the Lions at home at noon. That's the first game back. Then you'll get to follow it up with the Bears, get this thing rolling here.
Do we not
the
think Bears. Cincinnati's a legitimate team?
I do.
Cincinnati?
Yeah. Do we not think they're legitimate?
Well, I don't think they weren't playing. They weren't carrying themselves like a legitimate team through the first 2 weeks of the season, just like Dak wasn't carrying himself as a legitimate $40 million quarterback week one versus the Bucks. So now do we know what they're capable of?
I call that as a good win. I call that as a good win for Cooper Rush.
Oh, for sure.
I call that as a good win.
Yeah, no, 100%.
Bengals will probably lose to the Dolphins this week to be 1-3. And then they go to Baltimore. So maybe they'll get it turned around. And then they'll go to the Saints. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team. You know, but that's nothing to be surprised of when it comes to the Super Bowl loser. It keeps happening. They can't keep it together the next year.
Yeah.
Okay. Congrats to Penny Hardaway. Lucia's favorite player as a kid, now the coach at University of Memphis, an independent accountability resolution process hearing panel. Well, that's a word salad. Decided that he did not violate NCAA rules when he was providing benefits to three prospective student athletes a few years ago. So he is cleared. That's one of the breaking news items from this afternoon. Flagtober is upon us. Okay, I cannot wait to get out there this weekend. Brian, you're going to be with us on Saturday, right?
Yes, sir.
And see many of you that we see once a year, or maybe we haven't seen in a couple, 2-3 years. The Tour Day DFW is back for the first time since March of 2020. Okay, since everything went down. We're bringing flags to every Twin Peaks in the Metroplex coming up this weekend. The entire schedule is at 1053thefan.com. There's actually two flags this year, and you can order them at 1053thefan.com/flagtober here coming up this weekend. One has a blue grenade, and then one has like a World War II, like USO tour type of gal.
A pinup gal,
is that what you call her?
Okay. Respect our flag.
Yes, respect, and thank you very much. 1053thefan.com/flagtober. And thanks to Twin Peaks for hosting this thing. We're going to hit every Twin Peaks in the Metroplex coming up between Saturday and Sunday.
The flag.
Yes, sir. Favorite moment from the game. I think the Cowboys might be morphing into a tough team before our eyes. I don't know if you noticed this as the cameras were cutting, but I'll give it to you. And I want your favorite moments as well on the text. That's coming up next here on 105.3 The Fan.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back, Nation. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you are hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the Frankels. 214-333-3333, truckwreck.com. Go to 105thefan.com/flagtober. We want to crack some coldies with you this weekend, the Tour Day DFW. Okay, what was your favorite moment from victory? Check in here on the text and chat. Lamb's 4th-and-4 catch, play of the game, in my opinion, says the 405. Okay, clutch throws coming back to win it when it was nut-cutting time, says the 972. Yes, Rush being 12-of-13 during those two scoring drives was pretty amazing. But my favorite moment of the game, and it could generate a big personnel move if I was the front office guys today. I'd be looking to trade somebody as a result of what I witnessed yesterday.
Uh-oh.
But your favorite moments at 877-881-1053. Then we got the G-Bag of the Day coming up here in 5 minutes. Third quarter, 2:45 to play. It's from the Giants' 47-yard line. Cowboys were down 13-6 after the Barkley run, which was fantastic. But this was the Cowboys' answering drive. And on 1st-and-10, Rush throws to Hendershot on the right. And it goes for 29 yards. I don't know what you, Brian and Zach, saw from the press box, but the best part is Hendershot gets up from this, and he starts doing the run bouncing thing where you're like kind of like celebrating, but what he was really doing was lining up Ojulari to come across his face with the shoulder pads. And as the camera clicks away from Hendershot doing this dancing thing, you see him fly through Ojulari's face and it whips his head to the side and he turns like, what the crap? And Hendershot's just bouncing away like he accidentally did it because he was celebrating. But I rewound it a bunch of times and you can tell he cuts right into this dude's face. Now, it cuts away and shows you a highlight of the catch for about 10 seconds. But when the TV cuts back in, The cameraman that had been following that was still on Ojulari on the sideline as he's like looking out onto the field and trying to mother bleep somebody.
That's great.
Okay. So it's not just the fact that Hendershot and Ferguson gave you more of a collective Wookiee factor at tight end, but they also bring some nasty.
Yeah.
Instead of the Jason Garrett way of trust the process and put your head down and don't start fights or anything, this dude's out there violently trolling, letting Ojulari know, I'm here, bro, and you better not turn your back on me because I might just take a cheap shot at you after I go for 30 yards up the field.
Hoochie Daddy Hendershot. That's right. That guy's a bleeping alpha.
Yeah, he is. Man, I was impressed with the young tight ends.
It
was
foxhole
A little bit of a rough start there for Hoochie Daddy, but he certainly was really good late in that game, came up with some big catches, and I thought Ferguson had a nice game as well. I thought blocking Ferguson held his own, and even McEwen getting in there mixing it up a little bit. I didn't think there was a big drop-off from losing Schultz, and I think it bodes well for the future of that tight end position. I loved the Jason Peters play. I mean, just immediately him getting into the game. Oh, just looking at him. I mean, we talked about it to open. Just the size of him really
stands out.
He wears
like a running back face mask.
It's crazy. But immediately they go right behind him, and you just see, holy cow, look at this. You can run a semi-truck through this hole that's created between him and Tyler Smith, and bye-bye 46 yards later, Tony Pollard. It was hard not to love that. And at the end of the game, I also did love Jason Peters and Tyler. They're like the Bash Brothers. I think that's what they're going to be by the end of the year together. They're just like Tweedledee and Tweedledum out there together, just out there, going to be mauling people. I have kind of fallen in love with the two of them. I really hope that is your left tackle, left guard tandem.
Yeah, not a moment, says the 4-3-0, but who was fighting at the end of the game? That was Farniok and
I couldn't
Dexter.
Tell.
Dexter Williams? Dexter
Lawrence. Lawrence. It might have been.
Yeah, it's
because he took a cheap shot at him when they were doing the kneel down.
The Landry shift. Yeah, that was the whole thing. My favorite play of the game, and I thought it was just one of those times where you're like going, man, this looks bad, but all of a sudden it turns out great. Dallas facing a 3rd and 12 on their own 21, and they run a toss sweep to Elliott for 27 yards.
Yeah.
And you're thinking like, oh, please, just don't, you know, the previous play, you know, that Cooper Rush had thrown the football, he threw it to Ferguson for 8 yards. So you're thinking, okay, he's just trying to chip away. And I'm thinking, just, you know, get, you know, half of that and then punt the ball, everything will be okay. And Kellen Moore gets to his back, and they run a play, and on the play, Smith knocks down like 3 guys along the way. He pulls outside. Peters actually goes the wrong way on the play. I mean, he's like going he should have taken a step to his left, but he kind of like froze like, oh, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do here. But everybody's doing what they have to do. They get the edge sealed. They get Smith out in space. And now Elliott is running downhill and just weaving through guys. And, you know, that was to me was a huge play because you always talk about like when sometimes you need to pass when you're going to run and run when you need to pass. And that keeps defenses off balance when you do things like that, especially with a guy that likes to bring pressure on third down.
Isn't it money, guys? I mean, these young linemen have just been so good when you get them out in space. I mean, Tyler Smith is putting people on their ass.
Yeah.
On the move.
Well, Ojulari and Thibodeau, I think, had one tackle each in this in this game.
Yeah.
And that was the big worry going in.
Very promising what they can do when they get Peters out there. And Jerry this morning talking about him playing right tackle. I don't know how you get Tyron Tyler and Peters all on the field together, but however they decide to do it. And we got to know they're going to be creative because you just saw Peters at left guard.
Yeah.
That's going to give them the confidence to keep tinkering.
They've been a lot more confident with their combinations than I have, but they're doing a great job with how they're playing their guys. They really are.
Well, they threw us off last year, really the last 2 years, when they talked about we can't mix and match.
Yeah.
And then they totally pulled a 180 and they're mixing and matching like crazy now. I don't mind it at all. It's time now for the G-Bag of the Day, curated by Lucius Alexander. Sir.
Yo, let me get right to it because I have a lot of audio for you boys today.
All right.
On this Victory Tuesday, as they call it.
That's right.
Our door-to-door energy salesman with the fraudulent slip is our winner from yesterday. Got everybody uncomfortable, but I loved it.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, sorry to bother you.
What's up,
I'm Fernando. I work at Peak Energy. We're a few doors down. We're in 1845.
Okay.
So we do solar around here. We're just coming around talking to Nick. Sorry, dude. Neighbors. I apologize, man. No, man, that wasn't even...
No, it was.
It's over. Don't salvage it.
Yeah. You moron.
Yeah.
All right, then. Boom. Go ahead and shut the door.
I'm sorry.
Just mosey on next door.
Let's see what I got here for you, boys. Oh, number two, Pastor Michael Irvin on the First Take.
Oh, he's killing it this morning.
Yeah, preaching the gospel on the Cowboys defense and CeeDee Lamb and whatnot.
What you looking at on that defensive line is something. Finger licking good, special. That's what I'm talking about.
That grosses me out right there, by the way.
All 5 days of D coming rushing and just getting it a quarterback. It's finger licking good, special. And we can get somewhere with that. I'm going to tell you this, too. I have been hurting because I have been having to tell the truth about how great Philadelphia look. And they do look great. And I said, there is no chance. But with that finger licking, pass rush, we do got a chance. We'll get a chance to get to Philly because we got that finger licking pass rush that is so good. And a pass rush can stop everything. Now, we should talk about CeeDee Lamb. Did you know the number 8 stands for new beginning? That's why. That's why 88 is so special. God knows I needed so many new beginnings. 88 can take a new beginning. The Bible talks about men like this. They call them mighty men of valor. You might mess up, but you will do everything you have to do to make your mess up right. And that's what CeeDee Lamb did last night. He did everything he needed to do to make his mess up right. Yes, I dropped a big pass, but I came back and I had a CeeDee Lamb drive. You want to talk about a playmaker? That's a playmaker. He made the plays. And then the one-handed stab for the grab of the touchdown on the go-ahead. It's what playmakers do.
Holy cow. That's peak Michael Irvin. I don't know if anything could ever be more Michael Irvin than that.
Dude, it doesn't even include what he was doing last night, his own selfie video in like his weight room portion of his house, it looked like.
Yeah, he was in his gym.
Right after the game, he gave a post-game press conference, and he was, he must have a sauna or something in there, because he was dripping sweat.
He must have a Starbucks machine there.
Going hard in the paint.
I've heard lots of stories of him at the Plano Lifetime sauna.
Oh, okay.
Booty butt naked.
Oh, yeah, he is a very confident, I would imagine.
Very confident.
Yeah.
Crotch
like
first.
Air drying in the Cowboys locker room his entire career.
He's got that BD and he's flaunting.
Good for him.
All right. Wow. Okay. And Troy Aikman.
I saw that meme. That's fun.
That is funny.
Takes a shot at Joe Buck's Indiana Hoosiers.
Cowboys hurry it up. Pass, a spinning grab by Hendershot. And then up and over Dane Belton and picking up 10. And making the Indiana Hoosiers football program proud.
Doesn't take much, does it? That's not fair.
I'm sorry.
Captain Bruin over there, yeah.
Troy Aikman, it's hard out here for a Hoosier.
Yeah.
That's fun. I went to a soccer camp when I was 13 years old at Indiana University. So I consider myself a Hoosier for life.
I was recruited by Indiana.
Were you?
I was.
Why didn't you go?
Lee Corso was head coach.
Wow.
Yeah.
So did Lee come and visit?
No, I talked to him on the phone.
Cool.
They were a really bad team at the time. Yeah. Really bad team. So, yeah.
Beautiful campus.
It is very pretty. Bennett applied to school there and got into Indiana. So, yeah, it is a beautiful place.
But not that great at sports.
Nah.
Even college basketball.
Did you guys watch the Kansas Duke game on Saturday at all? Anybody catch the highlights?
Caught highlights, man. Okay. Caught some highlights.
All Reds,
big
bro.
Money on that.
Okay. Yeah, had a lot of money on that. Oh, yeah. All Reds, Jayhawks looked fire too, didn't it?
Yeah, I do like that. Daniel Hyshaw run right here on Fox. Listen to this call.
Here's a blitz. They beat it. Hyshaw. Oh, they trumped him. What a wonderful play call. Hyshaw spinning. Look at Hyshaw go. Look at his speed.
That's awesome, man. Great call.
Great call, but I only played that so I can play this one. This is the Kansas Jayhawks versus Duke. Daniel Hyshaw run in Spanish.
Uh-oh.
Buscando un pase. Jalen Daniels pasa a Hyshaw. Hyshaw la atrapa. Hyshaw se la lleva. Hyshaw primera. Hyshaw se la lleva. Por la 50. Se sigue corriendo. No se ha caído Daniel Hyshaw. Y se sigue corriendo. Daniel Hyshaw.
Keisha anota touchdown para los Kansas Jayhawks.
Yeah.
Daniel Keisha no se cae, señoras y señores.
Señor.
Para esta segunda anotación de los Kansas Jayhawks. Itala.
Itala. Man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Hyshaw make you go high pitch, apparently, yeah, in any language.
I love when your voice cracks right there. I love that when they do that.
Keisha anota touchdown para los Kansas Jayhawks.
No, that's the wrong part, Alex.
Se sigue corriendo. No se ha caído Daniel Hicho. Y se sigue corriendo.
There we go.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah. We can do the voting now, Mr. Dawson.
Okay, let's vote.
Yeah.
Let's do the voting portion. Door-to-door salesman, our one-time G-Bag of the Day champion, Lucius. Pastor Michael Irvin on First Take. He definitely goes to the Men's Tee Clinic. I think that's what's going on with Playmaker.
Oh, yeah.
He is supercharged. Is it Troy Aikman? It's hard out here for a Hoosier. Is it the Kansas Duke game? Hyshaw. Look at him go. Turpin almost got through yesterday. Damn punter tripped him up.
Ah, darn punter.
I was going to make Mike eat his words. He'd be on pace for five of them things.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go with Hyshaw. Do you follow?
It's not bad. Michael Irvin just licked all 10 of his fingers on ESPN today. I have to vote for him.
Lucius.
Hey, he's touching the desk and the pens and everything. Somebody else got to sit there later, and Michael Irvin's just...
Yeah, I got to need Broadus to come through after him. He cleans everybody's workspace before he leaves.
Got OCD. Excuse me, boys. Excuse me. I do the Troy Aikman takes a shot, I guess. Sorry, Broadus.
That was gold. We're tied at one across the board, Woolchuck.
Oh, give me Mike.
2-1-1, Brian.
I am zooming here right now, and I'm going to tell you Pastor Mike gets that one.
By a score of 3-1-1. And your new G-Bag of the Day champion, once again, the playmaker, Michael Irvin,
in
sliding
in. The name
in
of the father.
Like a glove. Okay, we got to run. Krusty's Corner coming up next. Where are we headed, sir?
Yeah, let's take a look at this game from the All-22. We'll do that next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thank you, Lucius. It is time now for Krusty's Corner. Here he is, King of the Krusty's, former Cowboy Scout, Brian Broadus.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
I was trying to find out that information for you. That's why I was on.
Thank you.
I'm texting people right now to try and find that out for you.
Yeah, there's rumors online about the World Cup final and Jerry World and all that. Apparently, is it John Sutcliffe?
Yeah,
with ESPN.
Right.
He threw it out on some podcast or something, and people are trying to take that as news. It's not confirmed. ESPN is not reporting it. But apparently one of their reporters mentioned it. So you know how the soccer world, the media world goes. They'll take just a little spark and try to turn it into an inferno. But, hey, we're standing by. And if that would come true, that would be very exciting. Here's Broadus with Krusty's Corner.
All right. Hey, I had a Twitter question real quick, and I was wondering if you guys can guess the answer. Because it's a Gang of Seven question real quick.
Yeah.
On Twitter... A guy asked me, what do you think you could get for Cooper Rush right now in a trade?
World.
And I asked four of my Gang of Seven guys, and two of them got, well, actually three of them got back. But and they gave me a number what you think you could get for Cooper Rush if you traded him right now.
A three.
You say a three?
Yeah.
Chief?
Well, I'm trying to think about like what is there a team that kind of needs it right now?
A fourth rounder.
And
fourth rounder? Okay.
I would think probably in the fourth or fifth round range.
It was 2 4s and a 5. That's what I
That's
went.
A good but haul.
Three guys got back. They said if you traded Cooper Rush right now, you could get, well, three guys answered. 2 4s,
oh, okay, okay.
2 4s and a 5.
A backup quarterback is worth so much more than that. A backup quarterback that you can win with.
Yeah.
You know, until it gets.
I like what you said with the three. Because one of my guys is like, man, I'm saying a four, but He goes, hell, I might give more.
Yeah, they'd probably go up to a three if they're offering somebody. two fours and a five.
Well, and it's all circumstantial. If you get a, if you get one of these contenders who gets a quarterback hurt and they're like, dang, we need a guy who can keep us alive for a month or whatever, then all of a sudden price goes up a little bit. But at the moment, I don't think there's a team that actually like is in need of one. Like, our quarterback's hurt and, oh, we need a quarterback. But I'm in a couple of weeks, that could happen.
I'm not really considering it until it's a one that they're offering or a two from a team that could finish in, like, the bottom five. So it'd be
that's,
a high two.
That's, see, that's what the right now the Eagles are dealing with. They've got the 32nd pick overall, which is their own pick, and they've got the Saints pick, which is now seven. So that, you know, there, that's when you start to talk about,
oh, because the Eagles own the Saints' first-round pick because of the Alave trade before the draft. So so that means we as Cowboys Nation, our second team kind of needs to be the Saints this year.
Yeah,
we need to be big Jameis Winston guys.
Yeah, because if that thing turns into a top five pick and they're thinking about a quarterback there, that's more than enough, right?
Well, it's going right now to turn it around because Jameis, you know, they're talking about maybe moving Jalen on, benching him.
Well, he needs Andy Dalton
play better. And maybe put some chum in the water in Seattle there. Like, man, this Cooper Rush is playing really well, John.
Yeah.
You know, maybe you want to make a trade.
All right. I promised all 22, and I did all 22. And I've had a busy day today. But that's part of it. Jason Peters, I talked about him. You know, the snaps that he got the opportunity with. I'll tell you what, the lateral agility, the lateral slide, the power that he played with in this football game was better than what he played against with when he was with Chicago. He looked like the movement and stuff like that. The things that Gavin and I was worried about, that you know, ability to cut off and make those blocks where you know, you have to get your body in front. It's not quite there, but it's close. But when he was with Chicago, he had no chance of making those types of blocks. So he's come in, he's done a good job of getting in shape, getting in condition, but the opportunities he got, I only mentioned the one time it was on the 3rd and 12 play was the only time I felt like that he was off in what, you know, his assignments were. But other than that, he was a hard guy to move. You know, in pass protection, he did a really good job of working with Biotish on some of the combination blocks that they had. They had to pass a couple of twist stunts. He was able to get that done. So, yeah, having him in, man, I didn't know what to honestly expect for him at guard. I really, really didn't. But for the first time out of the blocks, It looked pretty darn good. For
so
him.
Do you think they ramp up to four series next week? Are we going to full game soon?
Yeah, I did Cowboys. I did the Cowboys break this morning, and Nick Eatman after the game talked to him, and he was like, he was telling Nick, this is my preseason game. This game against the Giants is my preseason game.
Okay.
So he's feeling like, and now maybe they're telling him, okay, We're gonna like you said, ramp it up, and each week you're gonna get a little bit more opportunity to maybe where you have a starter out of it.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
He's gotta be. I mean, he's better than Farniak by a mile.
He's definitely better than Farniak.
That's all you need to know.
And you know what? McGovern is versatile where you can use him in a bunch of different roles and is your fullback guy as an added blocker. And I think Peters, we've talked about it. I just love the idea of having him next to Tyler Smith and how much better that can help him.
Agreed.
Well, it was some impressive work. And like I said, I was worried about the run blocking stuff, and it was just fine. That the long run that went behind him too, that he had to adjust on, that the Giants linebacker tries to run behind him, tries to go behind him on the play, and he was able to adjust. You know, if he's not in shape or not in condition or not, you know, the movement part of it's not good, maybe the linebacker makes the play. But he slammed the door, and then that's how the ball got through there. So nice job by with him and the opportunities that he got. Again, we'll see if he gets more as the season goes along. These tight ends did a really nice job of blocking. There's several of the runs that went to the outside were because of what Jake Ferguson and Peyton Hendershot were able to do. And what they also used is they used Noah Brown as a big body on the outside as well. The crack toss stuff, to get the ball to the outside, like, Noah crack, and then they get everybody around the big blocks, you know, with these tackles. Pulled the center a couple of times on that. The Cowboys had success in 12 personnel running the ball because of what Ferguson and Hendershot were able to do at the point of attack. So keep that in mind going forward, though, as they start to run this ball or get more into it, these tight ends, they play with a lot of nastiness to their game, in the way that they like to finish. So yeah. I was excited to see that.
Hugely encouraging. Actually, didn't miss Dalton Schultz much last night.
No, you really didn't. A really nice job by Turpin and him, using him as a blocker as well. We talked about him on the how he's a returner. He was the kickoff return that he had, that they kicked it short like it was a short kick, punch kick, whatever mm-hmm. you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why you would even kick him the ball, because the Cowboys ran a scheme where they left one guy unblocked, and it was his man to beat, and that's the man who made the tackle. They had everybody else blocked on the play. And if somehow, some way, Turpin beats the guy that they leave unblocked, that's a touchdown on the kickoff return. The punt return stuff was a great thing too as well. And that was when you look at how that set up, that was when with Bell, the backup safety, had a key block on his punt return that the punter made the tackle. Bell had a block that sprung that thing. So Cowboys special teams doing a pretty nice job on that as well. When you look at the defensive side of the ball and what you were able to see, Diggs should have had three interceptions in this game, guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
One of them should have been a house call.
One of them should have been a house call, went right through his arms. The other one, early in the game, he had a chance where he had his hands on the ball, misplayed that, and then got the final one. But this could have been a game where you had multiple sacks from Lawrence, and then you would have had three turnovers from Diggs. You know, unfortunately, though, he misplayed the ball on two of those plays. Donovan Wilson ended up this game with 11 tackles. He could have had 15 tackles. He missed four tackles for sure. But overall, the way he played, the physicality, the blitzing that they brought him, this guy's got a feel for how to rush the passer. And now you're starting to add guys to, like, the rush game. When you're talking about Lawrence, you're talking about Armstrong. They brought Barr one time. Barr just destroyed. Barr doesn't have the quickness of the power, or excuse me, the quickness that he once had, or that burst. But what he has is he's got the power. By the way, I think it was a BS call on his holding thing. When you watch it on the tape of the end zone copy, he doesn't grab. I thought he grabbed Barkley. His hand wasn't even close. I was expecting jersey,
sure.
Tug, move,
yeah, okay.
Hand. None of that. That was a bad phantom call right there. He got beat on the play. Barkley dropped the ball. It should have been Dallas's ball on a punt, but then that holding part of it got called. With Lawrence, that was more about with him and the pass rush and stuff like that. That was just him one-on-one winning against his guy. The tackle there, no chance.
He whipped Evan Neal several times.
Evan Neal, like, it was like he was still a couple of different times. Tank has got this ability to slap hands and get his shoulder inside and then get to the spot. There were a couple of times there where he was able to. I think that was could have been a 4 or 5 sack game for him as many times as he beat Neal. If you're looking at the all 22, that's something that you can keep an eye on there. He did a great job of rushing. Cowboys defense played very, very well in this football game.
Can't wait to talk to Tank Thursday at 5:00 here on the Fan. I want to know what he was talking about with the doctor as he sat there on the turf. I was thinking, oh no, is that the foot?
Yeah, it looked like to me, because he broke that bone in the foot, the fifth metatarsal bone or something. Broke that in the second game, second week of practice of the season. Yeah,
last year. Yeah. So it was so great to see him back in the game. We got Two Guys, One Booth, an audio celebration of the Cowboys' victory. We'll get you that audio coming up next here on the GBAC Nation.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.